And he's like, you know, you can still have an abortion. And, you know, if you don't want to go through with the pregnancy, like, you can still, you know, terminate. Hi, my name is Jen.
My name is Christian. And this is Love a Little Podcast. Woo, woo, woo. All right, you guys. It is officially episode 8. Episode 8, you guys. Wow. Just like that, babe. I feel like we just started this. Well, we kind of did. But it is already episode 8. What's up, guys? If you guys are new, welcome. This is Love a Little Podcast with Christian and Jen. We drop new episodes every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are available on Spotify, Amazon Music, and a bunch of other music streaming platforms. But you can also watch us here on YouTube to see the visual. And yeah. So what is today's topic? As you guys might have seen in the title, today's topic is parenting with dwarfism. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the pretty. All the above. So without further ado, let's get right into it. So for those that don't know, that are new, you know, I have dwarfism. My name is Christian. My wife, Jen, is average height, and both of our kids do also have dwarfism. Camila, 7 years old, and Mateo, 2. So, let's get right into it, babe. Let's start from the very beginning. That was a cool intro, by the way. Thanks, Christian.
That sounded crazy. 7-year-old.
I know. What? Did I say 7?
Yes.
I already said 7. It's because Camila turned 7 this month, actually. In literally like a couple days.
Yeah. So he said 7. I was like, oh.
I know. It's kind of. She's excited to be 7, though.
She's excited for her birthday.
Yeah.
And to go to second grade. I don't know why.
I know.
So she was like halfway through first. She's like, I'm ready to go to
second. Times have changed for sure. Yep. She started off with her not even wanting to go to the next grade. To now she's like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Literally, our girl's growing up so fast. All right.
It goes by so quick. But anyways, let's talk about parenting with dwarfism. We're going to start from
the beginning. The beginning of times.
As you can tell, my husband has a type of... So dwarfism is the medical term or the proper way, right? And he has what is called achondroplasia, which is a type of dwarfism. And there's over 300 types of dwarfism. So, and Christian has the most common, which is achon. And as you can tell, our kids, for those of you guys that, you know, watch our, like, vlogging channels and stuff like that, follow us on social media, our kids also have achondroplasia, which they carried from Christian. So, for us, we always get questions in regards to, like, am I able to have a normal kid?
When they say normal, they mean average height.
Yeah. So, yes, I am able to have an average kid. I won't because we're not having any more kids. But, yes, so our chances are 50-50 of the gene passing down or not. And, obviously, as you guys can tell.
My gene is stronger.
Yeah, it passed down. And so a lot of times, sorry. You know, the question is, how did we find out, or when did we find out that our kids had the gene? So now, you know, with technology and everything, you're able to tell ahead of time. A lot of times, the doctors still miss it, though, but because there's no family history, I think, so they miss it. They don't really pay that much attention to the measurements. So for me, you know, you have to do like a questionnaire in the beginning, and it says like, you know, your family or whatever has like any muscle skeletal dysplasia. So I obviously put yes, you know, for Christian. So for when they were doing my ultrasounds, like with Camila, you know, they were measuring her arms and her legs. So achondroplasia pretty much is like, they have a normal size torso. Well, not normal, but like average size.
You can kind of tell on here. I'm kind of leaning back, but if I see.
Yeah, so their torsos are pretty average. But their limbs are shorter. So arms and legs. And then they typically have a
big head.
A big head. Well, not a big cabezas. head, but you know, a little bit bigger. Oh, it's big. On the bigger side.
Oh, my head is big.
Your head is not big. Your head is, I feel like your head is not big.
My head is big.
But anyways.
I got big head.
Yeah, so that's one thing, right? So then they're measuring her. Usually around 20 weeks is when they start doing it, where they start, like, taking the measurements, and then they follow through until, like, you give birth. So with Camila right away, they were like, oh, yeah, she's behind. I think she was behind, like, 4 weeks on her limbs. Her head size was good. It wasn't, like, too big or anything like that. And so the rest of the term, which was like my third trimester, you know, they were just measuring her every time I would go in to see like if her limbs grow, because sometimes they'll grow and kind of stop, and then like towards the end they like completely develop, right? And but no, her, she was as I was getting to term, her limbs were just getting like further back and further back. So then that's when the doctors were like, okay, you know, I think we can confirm now that, you know, 99% she is going to have achondroplasia. So then I was like, oh, okay. So it's actually funny because when they first told me that she had achondroplasia, I was 20 weeks, and the doctor, he was like, you know, he kept coming in and out of the room.
Wait, keep in mind, he doesn't know that her husband, me, has dwarfism.
Yeah. So, and I was just, like, getting worried, all right? I'm like, oh, my God, like, what's going on? Like, you know, is there something wrong with my baby? Like, what's going on? And then he finally comes in, like, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? Like, is everything okay? Like, is the baby okay? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, you're scaring me. And he was like, well, and once he said, well, my heart dropped. I was like, oh, my God, like, what? And then he's like, you know, I'm measuring and this and that. He's like, seems like your baby's going to have a type of dwarfism. And then I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, you scared me. I thought it was, like, something more serious, like, you know, heart condition or, you know, I don't know.
Just something wrong.
Like, she was missing her brain or something, you know? And then he just, like, kind of looked at me, and he's like, do you understand what I'm telling you? And I'm like, yes, that she's going to be little. And he's like, yeah. And then he's, like, kind of like, you know, I guess he didn't get the reaction that he was expecting from me, you know.
He thought you were going to be, like, sad or disappointed or confused.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, you can still have an abortion, and, you know, if you don't want to go through with the pregnancy, like, you can still, you know, terminate. And I was just like, no, like, why would I terminate, like, my pregnancy? And then I was like, he's like, I don't think you're understanding me. And I'm like, I'm understanding you. You're telling me my baby's going to be little. Like, I get it. It's like, okay, well, just keep it in mind. You still have, I think, like he said, until 24 weeks or 25 weeks or something to terminate. That's crazy, though,
to think.
And then I was like, okay, and then he wanted to do, so when, you know, sometimes when your baby has, like, a type of diagnostic, whether they're little or something with the heart or any type of genetic, like, there's this test that they do where they, like, go through, I think, your belly button, or, like, they poke a needle through your stomach, and they, like, check, like, their genetics that way. But it could be very, very dangerous. And I heard it's, like, really painful. So he was like, do you want to do that? And I was like, by doing that, can you change her genetics? Like, is she going to be average height if you do that? He's like, no. And then I was like, then why would I risk my baby? Why would I risk my baby for a test that you're telling me that she's already, that she's going to be little? And he was like, well, I don't know, some people just like to do it. And I'm like, well, no, it's not going to change nothing. Like, no. And he's like, okay. And then he, like, went back out, and then he came, like, brought me, like, these
brochures,
which was LPA, which I already knew of because of Christian. And then he also brought me, what did he bring me? oh, counseling, you know, paper counseling. And then I was just, he's like, you know, we do have therapists if you want to talk to them. You know, I really suggest you talk to a therapist. And I'm like, no, like, I'm okay. Like, I don't need a therapist. I was like, did you look at my history, like my paperwork? He was like, yeah, I kind of glanced through it. I'm like, my husband's a little person. He's like, oh, your husband's a little person? I'm like, yeah. And then he was like, okay. I'm like, but either, and then he's still kind of insisting, like, okay, well, either way, just keep in mind there's therapy and you can, you know, you're on time to terminate. And I was just like, no. Like,
it's crazy that they press that on you so much, you know?
Yeah. Like, and then I was like, okay, like, no, I'm okay. Thank you. And then, so that happened, right? But obviously my reaction is completely different to someone who, for example, like your mom, right? Like her, I'm pretty sure her reaction is way different because she doesn't know anything about, you know.
My parents are average height, by the way.
Yeah. Like your parents don't know nothing about, you know, having or knowing somebody who has a type of like dwarfism.
And even before, it was just a lot more different because they didn't have the technology they have now. So
yeah, and the resources.
You know? So my mom didn't even know I was a little person until I was like 3 months old.
Yeah. And that's because other people started noticing
it. Like, oh, he's kind of, like, not growing as fast as everyone else, you know? Yeah. And, like, my bones were different and things like that, so.
Like, your legs and
my legs short. And my arms were short, you know?
And then, because he was really chubby, like, I seen pictures, so you could
talking
tell.
Talking about rolls. I have rolls. Yeah, like, you could I like really the Michelin tell. Man, yeah. But, like, in a baby form.
That you could really tell that his arms and his legs were really little because he was so chubby. Literally. But, yeah, so I was just like, okay. And then, you know, I called Christian. I'm like, babe, guess what? And he's like, what? And I'm like, you know, like the baby's going to be a little person. And then he was like, oh, my God. And so, yeah. So that was that. And then with Mateo as well, you know, same thing. And then since my history, I mean, they already seen that I had a baby with.
Dwarfism
prior, so they were, you know, just checking and making sure that everything was fine. So with Mateo, everything was good. So also a thing is, like, when you're pregnant and you're pregnant with the baby who has dwarfism, for some reason, a lot of, like, we get more, oh my God, I'm having a brain fart, amniotic, like we get more fluid in our stomach, so our stomachs tends to be bigger. So with Camila, I think because it was my first pregnancy, like I was really round, like and I did get a really big stomach. But with Mateo, it was
she got huge her belly, huge, but it was so beautiful because her belly always had like a really nice shape to it. Like it was like big, but like it was like perfectly round. Like it wasn't like slumped down or slumped like super sharp, nothing like it.
Christian
was literally
super in love with me when I'm pregnant
and when you're not too, don't even but
I'm
like
pregnant.
When she was pregnant,
he
like
has a fetish for pregnant woman.
Hey, that's weird for you, but like she just glowed, like it was, she was so beautiful. Like I mean, she's beautiful, don't get me wrong,
honestly
she's so beautiful, but she, through her pregnancies like a lot of women, well yeah, they like some of them don't like how they get when they're pregnant. Like they either something like their nose gets big, their ears get big or whatever, or like they feel like whatever.
My lips get big.
Yeah, but she like she glowed. She glowed up.
No, honestly, like not sounding like that or anything, but
oh no, sound like that, girl. You tell
when
me.
When I'm pregnant, I love being pregnant. Like I feel the most like beautiful, the most confident. I don't know. With my two pregnancies, I don't know if it's because I had an easy pregnancy, like a good pregnancy, but like I love being pregnant.
She
like,
did. She
that's
would
when
always
I feel like
the she best. Would literally always tell me like, my God, like she was so emotional after she had the baby, like always because she, you know, I would always see her in the mirror looking at herself, rubbing her pancita, and like, and then after you had the baby, it was just like not that you didn't, but it was just like. Oh. Obviously, you missed the little bump.
Yeah, I really do. Like, after I had Mateo, like, I really, like, went through, like, a little episode where I was just so sad because I didn't have, like, my stomach anymore. It was weird. But yeah, that's that. So, anyways, going back to the to what we were talking about. So when I was pregnant with Mateo, well, with both of them, I had a lot of amniotic fluid. I don't know. Like, I'm saying it correctly in my brain, but it's not coming out.
A lot of fluid in her panza.
Yeah, you know, that happens. But anyways, yeah, you get a lot of extra fluid. So that happens to me. And the doctors always tell me, like, oh, you have a lot of fluid, like extra fluid. So now it makes sense because I remember with Camila, like, I would hardly feel her kicks. They were so soft. But I think it's because I had a lot of fluid. Mm. And with Mateo, I also felt them, but they weren't, like, as super strong as people say. And it's for this, I think it's for the same reason, because I had a lot of fluid. And yeah, so that's why my stomachs tend to get bigger, because I had a lot of fluid. But, yeah, that's my, prior to them being born, our experience, you know, I had really easy pregnancies. I did have two C-sections with Camila. The reason being was because she was breached. And the doctor, at first, he wanted to, like, turn her. But he didn't want to risk, you know, injuring her, you know, since they're
fragile.
So when you have, like, a type of dwarfism, your bones tend, you have a lot of cartilage. So your cartilage then eventually turns into, like, your, you know, your, it hardens into your bones. And that's why they're so super flexible. So when Camila, you know, he didn't want to risk injuring her. So he was like, you know what? If she doesn't turn on her own, like, we'll just schedule your C-section. And I did everything you could possibly think for her to turn, like, head down. And she just didn't. Remember, babe? I was crawling.
It's so funny because
I was putting my feet up.
That was when, like, we were living in the, that was when we were living it. That was when we were living in the apartment. So they would say, like, because she hadn't flipped yet and it was almost her due date. And they were like, all right, we're going to give it some time. Do these exercises and she could possibly flip on her own. So literally she would crawl around the apartment like a dog, right? Like, I'm talking about, like gateando, like
you
a perrito.
You couldn't say like a baby? Like, you had to say a dog.
No, I said like a dog because you'll be tired and you'll be like.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding. So she'll be crawling around. Yeah, tell her, but check this out. Wait. So check this out. So not that I would make fun of her, because obviously that's my beautiful pregnant wife. But, you know, I'll be like, it was kind of funny because I would see her and she would like look at me. And then one time she's like, let me see you do it. You do it. So there I go. I'm right behind her. Ahí vamos los dos. So I was doing it with her. Yeah. Crawling around the apartment because I was like, you know what? All right, I could do it too. You know, or let me do it too. We're going to go through this together. We both pregnant. And then, yeah, I just started. We're literally going around the apartment, like the inside, like through the kitchen, through the living room, through the room, like just literally around, just like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty tiring.
She was stubborn. She did not flip.
But she didn't flip.
After everything that I did.
She didn't flip, though.
But, and then I was mostly because I was so scared of having a C-section, because I'm the type that I don't ever, like, I don't really get sick like that. I've never had surgeries or, like, you know, been or anything like that. So I was so scared. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, am I gonna die? Like what's gonna happen to me? You know, my baby's gonna be born without her mom. Like, you know, you just
just crazy first time mom things.
So when they told me I had to get a C-section, I started crying. I was like, oh my god, like, I'm so scared. And but then, you know, after everything happened, I was like, oh my god, okay, thank you god that everything, you know, came out so good. But I was so nervous. I was literally like so scared. And yeah, so then when Mateo, you know, I had to get a C-section again, and I was really trying not to get a C-section with him as well. I wanted, you know, to try and give birth
naturally,
but since Mateo's head was a little larger, when he was born, his head was already, I think, like 10 centimeters or 11 centimeters. The doctor was like, you know what? Like, I can't let you get to term. Like, if you want to try vaginally, because his head is already 10 centimeters. She's like, you dilate 10 centimeters. Like, it could be really dangerous. Like, you know, when you're pushing him out, like, you know, either he's not going to come out, or, you know, you could get really tired.
They're just very risky.
And I just don't want to have like, an emergency C-section. She's like, so if you have them before 39 weeks, she's like, I'll let you try vaginal. If not, then you, like, we're going to get a C-section. So with Mateo, too, I was drinking teas. And with Mateo, my whole pregnancy, I walked. Remember? We mm-hmm. walked. We walked every single day. It was rare that we missed a day, but we used to go for our nightly walks. And then also with Mateo, I got diabetes, gestational diabetes. So I couldn't miss walking. Like, I used to take care of myself really good because I was like, there's no way that I am going to, like, let the diabetes.
And I didn't even know that was a thing, like, diabetes during pregnancy. Like, you get it while you're pregnant, and then you don't have it no more after birth.
Yeah. So
or even before that.
Cause it's funny because when I was pregnant with Camila, my sugars would go down. And then with Mateo, my sugars would. But because I wasn't eating enough. So I got it because I was not eating enough. So my body, you know, it was just, I guess, like, reacting. So literally, like, the doctor made me eat, like, 3 times a day. And I would have to snack 2 times a day. And I would have to eat before I would go to sleep. Because otherwise my sugars would spike up if I didn't eat enough. And it's so true. Like, whenever I wouldn't really eat, my sugars would be high in the morning. Like, not super, super high, but, like, you know, a little higher than usual. So whenever I would, every night I would, like, Christian already knew. He's like, did you eat already? You have to eat something, remember? And I'm like, oh, yeah, just bring me, like, something. Even if it was something so little that I ate, like, my sugars would be good. Mm-hmm. I was eating a lot of fruit. The doctors told me not to eat a lot of fruit, but I was eating a lot of fruit, and my sugars were good. I think because it's natural sugars. Maybe. But anyways, getting back on track. Mm-hmm. So then I had my C-section with Mateo as well, and it went, you know, much better because I already kind of knew what it was, mm-hmm. what to expect. And the
recovery process.
Yeah, the recovery was so hard for both of my
sisters. Hey, shout out to all, shout out to all mothers in general that give birth, whether it's natural or C-section. But all my C-section mothers out there, I salute you as well because the recovery is not easy. It's not like people think, like, oh, they just cut you open, they take the baby out, and, ah, you're good. Like, you're getting cut open. They take a bunch of stuff out, and, you know what I'm saying? And the recovery is not easy. So, shout out to all the mamas, whether natural or C-section. I salute you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the recovery part is the hardest. It's really, really hard. Like, the pain. And then I didn't want to take my painkillers just because I was breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And they say, like, you shouldn't. Because, you know, they give you the, like, really strong stuff. And they say it's, you know, dangerous and stuff. So I was just sucking up the pain. Like, I didn't take my pain. Like, unless I really, really couldn't handle it, I would take, like, an ibuprofen or a Tylenol. But it wouldn't really do much, you mm-hmm. know, because I needed something stronger. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, and then the constipation after. I used to.
No.
Babe, how would I get?
She would literally be in the restroom like. like Hulk, like just screaming and it was.
Almost breaking the door because I would hold on to the door and I would be like, oh my God. You know, like, I
it's,
can't.
It's
because,
it was definitely something.
Yeah, it was horrible. And especially, oh man, it was horrible. Horrible.
And I think the most important part then and there is for the husband to be there as much as he can because, you know, obviously the woman needs help, the mom needs help. So try to be attentive in that. Well, always, but especially when, you know, after they just birthed your child, it's the least we could do, you know. Try to make their life a little smoother and easier. But
Christian's the real MVP, honestly. He helps so much. And then like, you know, you have your C-section, so you really can't, like, push or do fuerza and stuff. So it's just, like, you kind of have to just let it, like, oh, it's heal. It's just a horrible pain, horrible. Mm-hmm. I actually got, after I had Camila, I got little hemorrhoids because of, like, how constipated I got. It was painful, so painful. But anyways, Christian's falling asleep.
No, it's like 8 in the morning, and we've been up since like 6. Yeah. And I went to sleep super late last night, but we're here. We're doing it. And then Mateo's sleeping in the room. We have the monitor right here watching him. He's in the room sleeping. Yeah. So I'm just trying to get this done before I go start my day because I got to go already. Yeah. But, yeah. All right. Next topic. Well, not next topic, but next little bullet point we're going to talk about is, like, a little complication that came with dwarfism, I would say. I think we're going to go ahead and talk about Mateo. Well, Camila. People with achondroplasia dwarfism, not all, but sometimes come with, like, complications in the sense of, like, oh, they might need a surgery for this, or their legs or their ears might, a lot of people get, like, dwarfism have, like, ear infections. It's just something that sometimes happens, but not all the time. Camila, she has not had no complications to this day, thank God. And, but Mateo, he did have a surgery done, which was the foramen magnum stenosis. So I don't know if you guys know, or if you guys ever seen Mateo, the back of his head, he has a scar that's about, I don't know, 3 inches in length, maybe, or so, in the back of his neck. Because, so his case was his bone from his skull was a little big and was putting compression on, like, his spine. So, like, all of us, not just me with dwarfism, but, like, all of us humans have fluid that flows through the brain and to the spine, right? So the bone, his bone was putting compression on, like, the where the fluid flows to the brain. So it's kind of like, you know, like, if you have a water hose and you're, like, kind of squeezing it and it's, like, retaining. So it was kind of like retaining fluid in the brain. So what had happened or what had to be done, they had to shave down the bone that was putting compression on the spine. So, yeah, it was a very, very scary thing for us. Obviously, you don't want to see your baby boy going to surgery. Super. How old was he, babe, when he got the surgery done?
He was 10 months old.
10 months old. Now, imagine that. So, 10 months old, and they had to perform this surgery. You know, obviously, it's not something that we thought was going to happen because, you know, Camila came out fine and things like that. But we did know that there could possibly be complications. And I never had no complications. I mean, thank God Camila didn't have no complications. And then Mateo, he had that. So, you know, it's kind of like not all the time it happens.
But it's really, really common even with average height people. We know so many people that actually have told us, like, oh, I got that done. And we're like, oh, and like, we're like so many people that we've been
That specific surgery that was done is not necessarily just for, like, people with dwarfism. Like, it happens with average sized people as well. It's just something that happens and has to be taken care of because it is just very uncomfortable and it's, like, bothers you.
But it's just something, like, common that someone with achondroplasia, especially, you know, that they've noticed that it happens, you know, that happens to them.
So, yeah, 10 months old, he got the surgery, and then thank God he came out good. The surgery went extremely well, but just imagine, like, our kid in the room, we don't hear nothing from the doctors, nothing. They're like, we're gonna get back to you guys in a little bit. We'll let you know how it's going. They didn't tell us nothing. Obviously, you try to think super positive and be super positive because you want the best outcome possible. But, you know, things do go in your mind, like, what if this happens? So we were just so worried. But when they came out and they were like, oh, he's done. He's already finished. We were just like, oh, my God. It was like, it was just a crazy, unexplainable feeling. But, yeah, so Mateo went through the surgery. His recovery was super good. Like, it was quick, huh? Like, he recovered so good from that. Just the way he was after that was way better because he did have, like, some kind of pinching going on prior to the surgery. It did bother him a little bit because we would notice that he would kind of be in pain when he would move his head, like, a certain way and things like that. So thank God everything went well with that. So as you may know, obviously, people with dwarfism, their milestones do tend to take longer just because we're built different. We take longer to start walking, compared to the average size person, just because our limbs and stuff are a little weaker and take longer to get stronger. So Mateo, you know, obviously he took a while to start walking. Camila started walking at a year and a half. And then Mateo, I think also because the surgery kind of held him back, he started walking till he's two now.
Well, two and a half.
Two and a half.
So going to the surgery, so when Mateo, you know, that delayed him. So because his main nerve was being pinched. So technically what Mateo had was, you know, a part of his skull, he had a little bone that grew a little too much. That's the bone that goes from, like, your skull to your spine. Mm-hmm. And the nerve is the one that, it's like your main nerve, the one that tells you to wake up, to go to sleep, to breathe, you know, to move your arms and legs. So that nerve that was being pinched, you know, we noticed that Mateo, like, he wouldn't really move his, like, arms and legs. And, like, after we found out, we started, you know, paying attention to those things. And then we're like, oh, wow, like, we actually just thought, you know, because he was a baby, like, he was just super chill.
Like, delayed, yeah.
Yeah, so then that's when we realized, like, oh, yeah, you know, he's actually, he moves them, but he doesn't move them as much. And so that what Christian said, after his surgery, like, literally, we noticed the difference.
Like a changed person.
It was like a whole new baby. He was like, man,
I just still remember that. It was crazy.
It was just like so much different. And it's that is like common in a lot of people. But like he mentioned, you know, it tends to happen to a lot of kids who have achondroplasia. You know, thank God Christian never had that or Camila. Because I'm telling you, like, once we found that out, like, it was, we were like, oh, my God, you know, we had, like, well, at least me, we had, like, that parent guilt, like, how did we not, you know, find that out, like, quicker, sooner and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, it's just things that happen, and sometimes you don't really, you know, you didn't realize. And then there's, like, certain times, you know, like, you have to schedule, like, with their specialists, you know, genetics, pulmonology, neurology, and all that stuff, just to make sure that everything's in order. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how we found out, you know. And I think that it's nothing, like, a lot of people are like, oh, you see why you have babies with a little person, knowing that they could get it. And it's like, no, it's like literally... it could happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even, oh, just because he's little. Another common thing is, like Christian mentioned, you know, they get fluid in their ears. But it's common, but it's not just as like serious. Treatable. It's, like, very,
yeah. They put, like, these little things inside where, like, helps. And it's easy stuff.
So. Yeah, and then, you know, some might have it worse than others. But most of the time, it's, like, very minimal stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know... like I said, it happens, but it doesn't happen to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is the bowed legs.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. Camila, you know, Camila has bowed legs. Yes, we know that. Everybody always brings that up. But they could get better. So Camila has been following orthopedic as well. And her legs are straightening out little by little. They're getting better.
They've improved in like a year span.
So they
well, every
yeah every go, year they have been improving. So as of right now, we have she doesn't have any pain. It doesn't hurt her, and it's usually of concern when it starts hurting her, or like if like she's walking or running or she can't jump and you know she's in pain, mm-hmm. which in her case that's not it. Trust me, if she would, we would have been taking care of it, you know, already. But we're kind of just waiting to see if they keep improving. Once she gets into her teens, then we could talk about depending where she's at and, you know, how she feels. Mm-hmm. And then we could talk about, like, do she need surgery or not as of right now. Because
remember, they are little. We are little people, but we're still growing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, like, Christian had... his mom said he used to have really bow legs, and now he has some, like, very minimal. You could barely even
tell. So, yeah, that's another reason also that we're kind of holding back a little bit, you know, and we're letting, you know, because me, when I was little as well, like Camila's age, I had really bowed legs, because that just comes with dwarfism, achondroplasia specific. But throughout the years, they just kind of strained out. They're not completely straight because either way, they're going to have some type of bonus in them. But they're definitely not as bold as when I was little. So that's what we're hoping with Camila, that as she gets older, since we have been seeing improvements, because we, you know, obviously we follow up with the doctor and things like that. We're hoping to see her legs straighten out throughout the years before we have to do anything. So, yeah. And a lot of people say, like, oh, like, this, and like, who's going to know more than me, you know? Like, not saying it like that, but I'm the one that lived this life. I'm the one that's been through this, you know? So people tell me, like, a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, bro, like, I've already lived this life. I know what's up. I kind of have, well, I have an idea better than you, I'm sure. You know, like,
I know.
So all when people tell me, like, here, oh, my God, like, this and that, and I'm like, dude, like, I've already lived through this. I know what to expect, kind of, sort of, you know. But, yeah, so that's what's going on with that. Yeah, so, and then now going to Mateo, I think we're done with
Camila. Oh, yeah, to the milestone. So I was explaining to you guys, too, that, you know, so when achon, I can only speak on achon, you know.
Achondroplasia.
Dwarfism. When they're babies, they have a lot of cartilage. So their bones tend to get harder, slower than the average height, right? So that's why when you carry them and stuff, they feel more like soft and like they don't seem as sturdy. Mm-hmm. And it's because of that. So Camila started walking at a year and a half, you know, just because, you know, it took her a little longer to get, you know, more sturdy and stuff like that. But they're going to get there. It just,
mm-hmm, just takes a little bit longer.
I know a lot of achon kids, actually, that started walking at a year or before a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just...
It's, it depends on the situation.
Yeah, it depends. Even, like, a lot of average height kids, babies, like, some are walking after a year or, like, some, you know, walk before. It's literally the exact same thing, just that for most, it does take them a little longer than a year. Most of them start walking usually at a year and a half to 2 years. In Mateo's case, because of his surgery and that delayed him a little, he started walking, you know, at 2.5, which is still good because I've heard of a lot of, you know, little people who walk at 3-4 years, and that's okay, you know. But that's our journey, and honestly, like, we're just so blessed.
We are, and then. Just on Mateo, so since he still to this day, well, he's already walking, thank God, like, it's been a journey. We're so blessed with that little boy. Well, with our kids in general, so but sweet. That little boy, you know. But yes, we do take him to physical therapy still. Jen takes him to physical therapy. She's been taking him since after surgery till this day. He's already walking, and he still goes to physical therapy just because we want to get his little legs strong. We want to get his hands strong, his arms strong. And we just want the best for him, you know.
A little so extra help.
A little extra help. Yeah, it doesn't hurt nobody. So, you know, we do take him to physical therapy. Jen's super good with that. Honestly, she's amazing. Like, she doesn't miss. She takes him. She makes sure he gets the help that he needs. Even though he's already walking and stuff. Obviously, he still kind of, not struggles, but he does have, like, you know. He's like, he walks, but he's kind of sometimes unsure of, like,
he's not as stable
but he is walking sturdy, on his own,
you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I keep taking him to physical therapy.
So she takes him to physical therapy and things like that, and I think it's amazing. Shout out to all the physical therapist people that have the patience, and
it really takes a lot.
But like I always mention to people, if the doctor or anyone refers, like, for your son or daughter to get help or to get additional help in the sense of, like, physical therapy or occupational therapy or speech therapy, don't take it bad. A lot of, I know a lot of people say like, oh, like my son don't need that. He's just taking a while to talk. Like if it's offered to you, like don't feel offended and you should take it. Honestly, that's my opinion. Like take it. It's just going to help. It's just going to help your kid. And I think, I mean, like, who doesn't want the best for their kids? So don't ever take it personal, especially us Latinos, Mexicans, whatever. We are like, nah, he just hasn't walked yet because, you know, whatever.
We're too worried about what other
people think. Yeah, we're too worried about what other people think. Like, if there's help out there, get it. Why not, you know? So that's my two cents or whatever. I think it's great. And it's definitely helped him a lot.
Yeah.
You know, people, physical therapists and things like that, they go and study this stuff and learn this stuff to specifically work and focus on particular things that the child needs help with, you know? We can only do so much. I mean, obviously, we can do as much as we can at home. But getting the specific help for a specific category or whatever is definitely a plus. So, why not? But, yeah, I think that is it for today because I am running late. I got to be somewhere in 10 minutes. And the distance is about 15 minutes. So, I got to go. But, yeah, that's just a little bit on parenting with dwarfism, like, our kids, obviously, that have dwarfism, just like daddy right here, and things like that. So, if you guys want to hear more on this topic, you know, comment down below. We could cover more on another episode or go a little bit.
If you guys have any specific questions or anything like that,
we'll be more than gladly to answer them. Remember, we don't get offended with questions you ask. Obviously, if it's out of curiosity and you do want to get educated on certain topics, ask us, let us know. We're open ears, and we will definitely try to answer your questions. So if you got any questions about us, about our kids, about our family, comment down below, and maybe, possibly, we can cover it in future episodes. Remember, we're dropping an episode every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Love a Little Podcast. So anything else, my love?
No, that's it.
All right. So thank you guys for watching Love a Little Podcast. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Don't forget to subscribe, like, drop a comment, all that good stuff. And
don't forget
to love a little. Peace. Bye.